1 Peter 3:15 says, in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. We are obviously meant to tell people. Otherwise, it wouldn't say, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who wants to know why you've got this hope. In the reading we just had, it says, get the word out. So that's where. But why? Why do we need to witness? 2 weeks ago, Andy Fuller stood here, and one of the things he said was, if you've heard a great joke, you want to pass it on, which is true. We have much more than a great joke to pass on. We have just been singing, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Why do we do it? Because he's rescued us. Can I say, I welled up when we were singing. It's the first time, for various reasons, Jenny and I have been actually back in a church building. And to stand and sing with other people is, oh, so many people are nodding, is fabulous. It's great to worship God together. And that's part of the why. Telling somebody a joke gives them happiness. What we tell people about Jesus gives people joy. We are supposed to have joy. Doesn't mean we want to have bad times and difficult times. But we're supposed to have inner peace, joy, and hope. So what about the how? Well, the verse that you can now see on the screen is the one that really struck me in that reading. Teach believers with your life, by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, and by integrity. And I've highlighted the word believers, because this is the point I'd like to make, and you're entitled to disagree with me afterwards. If we're supposed to do that for believers, how much more should we do it for people who don't believe? We should live our lives by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. 5 words there. Word, demeanor, love, faith, integrity. But they're all linked together. In many ways, the word is the important part. What we think about when we hear the word witness is we've got to tell people. We've got to open our mouths and tell people. That's what many of the songs we've had are about. But they cover the, make me a channel of your peace, covers all those 5 words, in my opinion. Why do we have to tell people? Romans 10 says this: how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who is to be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? Very true. If nobody tells you something, how do you know? We have to tell people, but we have to be careful. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, can I say it is easy for our words to hurt people? And I think it's easier now than it ever was before. One reason is these days we are heavily into banter, or as some people call it, bants. And I have known occasions when banter has got out of hand. I've known people say to me, I've upset somebody, I was joking around with them, and I stepped over a line and went too far, and I've hurt them. It is very easy to do. Very easy to do. So we need to be careful. The other thing is social media. So many things now are in writing, and there's no tone of voice at all. I remember a friend ringing me. We had had an email from a third person, and this friend said, have you read that email? That's really upset me. And I said, yeah, well, it hasn't upset me. Hang on a minute. Let me get it up on my laptop. And I looked at this email and I couldn't see what he was talking about until he read it in a different way. Same words, but he read it a different way the way I read it. So I think we need to be careful when we send emails to people and things like that. If we're telling them about Jesus, that we don't, you know, we think carefully about how we're expressing it. I'm going to give you a silly example. The other day, I think it was Friday week ago, I went to the newsagents to get my newspaper, and as I was walking back, I just looked at the top of it, and it has a supplement. Interestingly enough, it was the same newspaper that Derek was reading on the screen at the start of this service. And in the corner, and I'm hoping it might appear in a minute, possibly not, in the corner, it said, it was referring to an article in their supplement about somebody called Jimmy Cliff. Now, if you don't know who Jimmy Cliff is, don't worry, I'm about to tell you. This is what Wikipedia says about him. Jimmy Cliff is a Jamaican ska, reggae, soul, and rock steady musician. And if you don't know what rock steady is, under no circumstances whatsoever are you to come and ask me, because I haven't got a clue either. Nor did I read the article. But on this little bit, it said, Jimmy Cliff, the rebel spirit is still in Jamaica. Now, as I walked back and I saw that at the top of the paper, I thought, oh, that means that the rebel spirit no longer exists in Jamaica. It is still quiet, not doing anything. Then it dawned on me, actually, what it could have meant was, the rebel spirit is still in Jamaica, still going strong. Now, I know it's a daft example, but it's a good example of how easy it is to misread what is meant because that tone of voice isn't there. So I think we need to be more careful than ever how we present ourselves. But there's far more to it than words. Matthew 23. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples. Sorry, that's done. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. You must be careful to do everything they tell you to do. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. At a party, I recently met a lady, it wasn't around here, can I say, who is currently an administrator in a Baptist church. She's from South America. And I said, if you don't mind me asking, how does somebody from South America end up being the administrator at a Baptist church in Northampton? And she told me her story. She went to church as a girl and a teenager, but she left the church and never wanted to go back to a church because what the people did in that church was so, so different from what they said. And she saw hypocrisy there. God obviously zapped her again later, and she's now administrator of a Baptist church. I didn't speak to her then because obviously had she been an Anglican church administrator, I'd have happily carried on the conversation, but you know. Why are all the people from St. John's smiling behind their masks and all the people from NBC are sort of, yes, I saw that look, Johnny. You lowered your mask for that, didn't you? So our actions have got to match our words. If they don't do that, we're wasting our time telling people. Our demeanor will affect people. The second word on the list. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. If we're going around being miserable tow rags, we're not exactly demonstrating life to the full, are we? Yeah, we may be feeling down sometimes. Yes, things may be getting heavy on us. But it doesn't mean we've got to be miserable all the time. We are supposed to have that inner joy. It often said that we're God's hands and feet. If we're going around being morose all the time, we're not really showing that, are we? I recently read this. When you meet someone, you will leave them better off or worse off or just the same. I wonder how we leave people we meet. Are they glad to see the back of us? Or do they feel better off for having met with us? People from St. John's know, I used to be a head teacher, and we had a lady deputy head teacher in one school. And people used to say she could be a bit of a pain. But if you'd had a bad lesson, she was exactly the person you wanted to see. And people used to say to me, it's great. You go in and you say, that 9C, they're appalling. I've had a dreadful lesson. They just wouldn't behave. And Anna, the deputy, would say, all of them. And gradually she'd whittle it down. And the teacher said, actually, no, you're right. Actually, it was one lad who's just ruined the lesson. Actually, I don't feel as bad as I did when I came in because I've realised 29 of them were actually on my side. It was just that one lad. In a sense, that's how we should be. We've got to be the positive people. There was a book written about Christian businessmen years ago called The Happiest People in the World. Somehow we should put out that we've got that inner joy. The reading also mentions love and faith. Jesus commanded us to love one another. In John, he said, I give you a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers. So by showing love to one another, other people will see that we are true followers of Jesus. The Bible also tells us that our faith is no good without action. James 2. What good is it if someone claims to have faith and has no deeds? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and food. If one of you says, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, which is not accompanied by action, is dead. So how do we do that? Well, I'm sure if I asked you, you could all come up with reasons where you've helped somebody, individuals. But actually, we do it as churches. We are now in a building where this Thursday, a lot of people are going to come and exchange a voucher to get food that they need. And it's great that actually both churches help with that. Down the road at St. John's, we are the partner church with, so you know, with Christians Against Poverty to be at the local debt centre. And people from our churches do that. At Malden Manor, about a month before the pandemic hit and we were in lockdown, Andy Fuller and I met to talk about opening up a debt centre drop-in over there. We were about to do it when lockdown came. But if you're at home listening, we'd still like to do it. But there are ways in which we can show our love to other people. And by doing that, we are witnessing to them. Words don't count unless we do actions that go with them. Now, Jenny and I don't watch songs of praise very often. It's a little bit old-fashioned for my liking. Some people love it, but sometimes it can be really good. And last Sunday morning, I put the TV on to catch the news, and a voice said, this afternoon's songs of praise comes from a nightclub in Bradford, which has been turned into a church. And we thought that might be interesting to watch. So later on iPlayer, we watched it. And it was true. It did come from a nightclub in Bradford that was being turned into a church. We saw a building site, really. All the songs came from other places. And most of the interviews were not with people from that church. But they did do two very interesting interviews. One was with a lady called Dawn, who ran a sort of massive school uniform bank. If your children left school, you gave the uniform. It went to people who couldn't afford uniform. This is what she said. It's not just talking about it and saying, oh, I believe in God and we come to church every Sunday. For me, it's about living as a Christian throughout your whole life. Everything you do is about that and not just what you say. Now, the other person I want to mention might be known to Crystal Palace. Have we got any Crystal Palace fans here? Do Crystal Palace fans actually exist? Sorry, Dave. They also interviewed a guy called Bruce Dyer, who was the first million-pound teenage footballer. And he now runs a football academy for youngsters. And he said, there's a verse that says, let your light so shine before men that your good works are seen and your Father is glorified in heaven. And then he said, so, you know, I can't always preach, but my life is a message. Yeah, we've got to tell people, but unless our lives show it too, we could be wasting our time. We can't be hypocrites. I say we, not you, because it involves me as much as everybody. We have got to show in everything we do that we belong to Jesus. David Livingstone, missionary to Africa. He went to Africa and he lost contact with the outside world for 6 years. And so the New York Herald sent a guy called Henry Stanley, a journalist, to find him. Henry Stanley was based in London. This is what Henry Stanley wrote. That's not easy to say. Henry Stanley wrote later in life. I went to Africa as prejudiced as the biggest atheist in London, but there came a long time for reflection. I saw this solitary old man there and asked myself, how on earth does he stay here? What is it that inspires him? For months, I found myself wondering at the old man carrying out all that was said in the Bible. But little by little, my sympathy was aroused. Seeing his piety, his gentleness, his zeal, his earnestness, I was converted by him, although he had never tried to do it. It was not Livingstone's preaching which converted me. It was Livingstone's living. Some church leaders in South America have said this, issued a statement, men look as they listen, and what they see must be at one with what they hear. Maybe that's where integrity at the bottom of the list comes in. So I looked up integrity in a dictionary. Two definitions. The quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral uprightness. Or the state of being whole and undivided. That's why I believe these words all go together. They are undivided. Unless we live showing all these things, we are not going to be good witnesses to other people. We're called to witness, but it covers everything we do. Some of us, I presume some from NBC, NBC do as well. Some of us at St. John's use a book called 365 Days Choose Life. And the bit where I found the Livingstone thing said this at the end. It's the inconsistencies between words and deeds expressed in Jesus' name by his followers, which have so often nullified our intended positive impact. As St. Francis is reputed to have said, preach all the time, and if necessary, use words. That sums it up to me. 2 weeks ago, not only did Andy Fuller stand here, but so did Mac when he did the prayers. And Mac was talking about Olympic athletes. And in talking about Olympic athletes, in changing their lives to win a medal, this is what he said. May we be prepared to change our lives to represent you. So let's just take a moment and just think. Look at those five words. And I don't mean your lives, I mean our lives. Is there something there that we need to think in our individual lives? Yeah. I need to do something about that because that is where I'm letting my witness down. My actions in one or more of those areas do not sit happily with what I say to people when I tell them about Jesus. So just take a moment, have a think about that. And then I think a lady with an American voice will interrupt your thoughts and say, this recording has been stopped.